name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, good morning to you. This is my first Sunday outing in 6 months. My wife Gail and I have been watching 3 Sunday morning services, one right after the other, in our living room, in our jammies. So it's great to be out and to be in real clothes. There has been a special component of my spiritual journey during this pandemic time. And I want to share some of this with you today. I have been digging deeply into the collects that are appointed for each Sunday. And what I have found is that they are far richer than I ever imagined. In fact, it has made me wonder that as we Episcopalians go through the liturgy, it is so familiar, it is so maybe predictable, that we gloss over it and miss some of what it has to enrich us all. If you pray daily morning and or evening prayer, there's a place in each of those for this collect of the day to be said. The collect for today is to be said throughout the week. And this means that we could be praying it 14 times during the week. I want to take a look at the collect. We're not going through it word by word or anything like that. But I want to share with you some things that I have gleaned from it, and then encourage you to find what in it might come alive for you. First of all, we pray that God will give us the ability not to be anxious about earthly things. Good luck. What would you say the anxiety level of the world is right now? There has been this pandemic that globally has threatened us. Many people have been very ill from it, and thousands have died from it. Many of us have been quarantined, as my wife and I have done, because of our age and medical issues. Our doctor said it's best to stay quarantined. But we miss out on personal and social interactions. Also, along with this, has been the financial impact of it. I was reading in the paper this morning that local restaurants are having a really hard time trying to stay alive, and a number of them have just gone under. There's no way they could continue. We find this financial impact also making families scramble for things like food and shelter and medical care and other things that are essential to their livelihood. It's been very stressful. There have been the Black Lives Matter protests, bringing to the surface the deep racial issues that have undergirded our social structure. Very troubling. I've gone down that road too, but that's for another sermon. There is also an upcoming national election. And I know if you've experienced this way, but my limited view is people are at each other's throats about it. So, this old collect, this old prayer, looks timely. You notice, it doesn't ask the Lord to spare us from traveling on some very rocky, scary stretches on this path of life. We don't ask that. We pray that the Lord will help us not lapse into anxiety, but not to lose hope. We pray that we will love things heavenly. So the question is, what are heavenly things? I have to go to the sayings of Jesus to begin to respond to this. Jesus said, as he sat in the synagogue and finished reading from the prophet Isaiah, "The kingdom of heaven has drawn near," or "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is dawning on earth through the presence and ministry of Jesus Christ. So perhaps heavenly things are closer to us than we might imagine. Jesus also teaches us to pray repeatedly, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven." In that prayer that we pray daily, we pray that the quality of the life in heaven will be known and experienced here on earth. That is our intention in that prayer. But how does this happen? It happens through us. In our baptism, we are reborn into life in the body of Jesus Christ. And in being baptized, we have promised to seek and serve this Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Do you know, as I was driving over here today, I was listening to the NPR and the news was coming on, they began with an announcement or a statement by our presiding bishop, Bishop Curry, saying this very thing. We are to love ourselves, but we are also to love our God, and we are also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Right on NPR this morning. What are the heavenly things to which we aspire? I find that the biblical witness reveals these in all kinds of places. So what I have chosen to do is just to look at some of the things in the lessons we have appointed for today, to see what some of the qualities of heaven are that we are called to live out in our lives today. I'm going to begin with the gospel lesson. I love that. I love that lesson. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. The master of the vineyard, at the end of the day, pays each worker the same amount of money. Let's say he says, "I'm going to give you $250 for a day for the work today. $250. And he hands that, he sees that amount is given to each one of the workers. The stumbling block in this is some people have worked and saved and labored all day long. summertime, noontime, summertime, 1 o'clock, or summertime just before closing time, and they all get $250, let's say. Well, this gets to the ones who have worked all day. And they come to the landowner, and they say to the landowner, this just isn't fair. This isn't fair that you would give somebody who worked just a few minutes the same amount that you have given to us. I hear the response of the landowner to these people in a quote from the prophet Isaiah, who is speaking on behalf of God, who says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is mine, and I choose to be generous." So, among those heavenly things that we see in this is a God of great love, a God of great compassion, a God of generosity. We don't earn it. We don't. It is given to us. It is bestowed upon us. God gives freely to all. These are heavenly ways. That it is to that which we aspire. The Old Testament lesson. I love the Old Testament lesson. And I have to tell you that although it will seem like a fairly long reading, it's just a fraction of the complaining of the people of Israel. They were real complainers. You know, I have thought that I'm a swim coach and a swimmer, but swimmers are really complainers. The water's too cold, my knee aches, I have water in my ear, all these kinds of things. We all use those excuses and complaints. But these people of Israel, they are really good at it. They grumbled, sometimes it's translated as grumbled, complaining. Sometimes it is translated as grinding their teeth. They are at odds with God. At times they wished, as they were in the wilderness, that God had not freed them from slavery in Egypt. They're complaining God so bad that Moses, the leader of the Israelites, was fed up with them. And he went to God and said, "I've had it with these people." Well, God was able to work that out with Moses. But we find that in the wilderness, God fed them. God fed them bread and gave them water that gushed from a rock. God stayed with them. One of the heavenly things we see in this is the endurance of God. God's covenant to be with us, God's covenant to be with us, his people, even when we're ungrateful, when we're hateful, and when we're complaining. We are challenged to be steadfast, a heavenly gift in our lives. And Paul, in the reading we had from the letter to the Philippians, that restless proclaimer of the gospel, said in the epistle lesson today, "As long as I am in the body, there is good work for me to do." And this was from a man who at one point in his life had watched Christians being tortured and stoned to death. Kind of a passive participant in that. But who had a dramatic conversion experience, and after that conversion was tortured, imprisoned, shipwrecked, and run out of town a number of times. But no matter what, he was going to embody the things that are heavenly by proclaiming the love, the care, the acceptance of Jesus Christ throughout the Mediterranean world. If you've been doing the daily readings recently, they have been from the book of Acts. It is always amazing to read of what Paul did through the accounts in Acts. He is a role model. He shows us that God can work wonders even in us, a heavenly gift. And the psalm today, the psalm, during all the turmoil around us, and probably issues facing the psalmist, because a lot of the psalms are laments, we hear the psalmist say, "Search for the Lord, search for the Lord and his strength, and continually seek his face." When we do that, we find that the Lord is sometimes in the most unexpected places. God has gone there before us and is waiting for us. This collect that is appointed for today is about us and our faith. And in spite of all the obstacles, and we have some pretty big ones, we believe through the words of this collect that heavenly things have come to us and are abundantly available to us. Compassion, love, generosity, forgiveness, justice, healing. We discover that the outreached arms of Jesus are there to embrace not only us, not just us, but all. I plead with you to pray this collect every day this week. Please do that. Take your bulletin at home. Those of you who are not with us, the bulletin may be online, or just get your prayer book out, and it's there. Stay with it. Let it stir your imagination. Kind of marinate in it. Let it stir your imagination. Let it quicken your heart. And may you embody God's goodwill, and may you impact every life you encounter this week. Our presiding bishop often ends his sermon with a hymn, and it's usually a gospel hymn, a spiritual. And there's one that I love. I'm not going to sing it. I don't have a singing voice right now. I'm not going to sing it, but it's very short, and it goes like this. I woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah. Wake up every morning this week. Wake up with your mind on Jesus. Amen.